real estate and business is not in the same person. It's like a really unique perspective to help grow the business by giving guests the best experience, but also financially being profitable and making money and growing a real estate business. You got to get around people who are doing bigger things and things that may even intimidate you.
Welcome everyone to the Shane So podcast. Today I have a very special guest. He's a real estate investor and a master marketer. And he recently quit his $250,000 corporate sales job and to lead marketing for hospitality investment businesses that own the number one hostel in North America, which I think is really cool. I want to go visit. And also he's a full-time digital nomad. Brandon Heen, thank you for being here, man.
Thanks so much, Shane.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, where are you from? Where do you live now?
Yeah, so I'm from North Carolina, and my background is I worked in tech sales my whole career, but I always knew I didn't really want to have a corporate job. So I was doing side hustles over the years, trying to start various businesses, some with more successes than others. But what I was always drawn to was like marketing and social media, because that would allow me to be creative and also live wherever I want. So actually I travel full time right now. I don't have a lease or anything anywhere. Just work from my computer. So over the years I'd done marketing work. I had a YouTube channel, started getting into real estate because I saw that the wealth and the freedom it gave people. And then ultimately ended up in this super cool opportunity that combines both, where I lead marketing for a hospitality investment business. And we own hostels.
You know, honestly, when I first met you, I didn't know you did social media marketing. I just thought you just did real estate. Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys were going all in on the real estate. I was trying to soak in all the info you were giving me.
Oh, man. Well, like, we've been doing this since June of last year.
Yeah.
And, there's certain people that just really stand out, whether it's in our free workshops or online. And you definitely stuck out, man. Like, you just really knew your stuff. So what made you go from, what was that moment like when you said, I am putting in my 2 weeks notice and I'm gone? Like, how'd you feel?
I felt relieved. Honestly, it had been something I'd been wanting to do for several years. And I'd already knew I was going to do it for a couple months by the time I did it. So I was just super proud of myself for finally achieving what I'd been trying to achieve for so many years. And by the time I quit, I was ready and I had a good opportunity. So honestly, wasn't that scared, but there was a lot of moments of fear in the previous years, wondering if I'd be able to figure something out that allowed me to quit my job.
And how did your family feel about you making that decision? I'm quitting my $250,000 a year job.
So I'd been telling them that I wanted to do it for years as well. So they kind of got used to it by that point. The previous year I had told them I was going to quit that job to go be a travel vlogger in Asia. So when I told them that it was to do real estate, they were like, okay. We're happy
better.
For you.
What's that movie where the kid goes to his parents and say, Mom, I've got really bad news. It's awful. I just want you to forgive me before I show you what I made on my test. And just please forgive me. And they're like expecting like a fail. He goes, no. He ends up ending. He said, no, I got a 78. So he lowered the expectation and poof, it went a little better. Is that kind of what happened, I guess?
Basically.
Okay. Well, Where was you living whenever you made this decision? Was you in Chicago at that time?
Yeah, so I was in Chicago. So I lived there for 3 years, wanted to try out a big city when I was still in my 20s. But I knew I wouldn't settle down in the Midwest. I wanted to be in the sunshine and warmth like you guys have here in Georgia. So the plan was to move back to North Carolina, called a bit of an audible due to the opportunity I had. And now I just travel full time, but I'm based in North Carolina.
Yeah. Now, before we start, you said you don't have an official lease anywhere. So how's your life looking? How does that work?
Yeah. So since our hostels are in Hawaii, that's where I spent January. And then I spent February in Guatemala working remote. So when I was in Hawaii in January, I was doing a lot of filming, strategizing with the owners. When I was in Guatemala, I was doing a lot of editing on my computer. And then now I'm in Charlotte for a month to kind of rebase. And then April's still up in the air. May go to Mexico. We may, potentially we have a couple of properties we're looking at. So when we do acquire our next property, I'll go on site to help open that up and really blow up the social media for our next hostel.
Okay, you're going to come stay here in Atlanta with us a little bit too?
Oh, absolutely. If it's warm, I'll be there. So Georgia checks out.
Oh, you checked it out, but today it's kind of rainy a little bit.
I know.
Yeah, it's about to get warm, though.
Yeah.
So let everyone know, because I know I talked to one of your business partners about what a hostel is, but for those that don't, what is a hostel exactly?
Yeah, so a hostel is sort of like a hotel, but with two unique differences. So first off, there's bunk beds in the room. So anywhere from like 4 to 8 beds in a room, and you're sharing that with strangers. So you don't know them before you go there. But people go there for that reason. So the second biggest difference is that a hostel, it's like a community, you know. So we host free events for our guests every single day. So it's a lot of solo travelers, and they can come to our hostel in Maui or on the Big Island in Hawaii. And every day there's a different activity that gets organized. We take them on a big bus. It's free. It may be a tour around Maui, a beach day, you know, doing hikes. So people make friends. And it's crazy how big the friendships are built there. Like, people will leave saying, oh, I met my friends for life here. You know, they're cooking together in the hostel. It's a big community space. So those are the two main differences. A lot of people are probably familiar with them. They're big in Europe. They're not as big in America, but, you know, we think there's a good opportunity for that. So that's, you know, what we're expanding on.
And you told me you actually stayed in hostels. Where did you stay in hostels?
Yeah, so I did a lot of international travel throughout my 20s. That's my favorite thing to do.
That's so cool.
So all throughout Europe, Thailand, and then a lot in Latin America. So I've been to like 10 countries in Central and South America. And, you know, I'll stay in a hostel. And the cool thing about hostels is you can show up to any city with no plans, and you immediately have friends and plans. The hostel will take you to the very best things in every city. So that's what I like most about it. And I never even knew I would get the opportunity to work within a hostel business. So it's really like the dream for me.
You know, when I was, how old are you?
29.
So when I was like 22, 23, I owned Taekwondo schools. And I went to California, and I didn't tell them I did martial arts, you know. So I just went to schools to see how they treat me, how they do the first intro class, and, you know, how they would try and, you know, get me to join and stuff. So I learned a lot. Were you at all those... Since you've stayed at a bunch of hostels, were you able to take a lot of those experiences? Hey, let's pick and choose the good stuff and the bad stuff, and like, let's put that in ours.
Oh, totally. So I've stayed in over 50 different hostels, and I've learned so much about what makes the experience. And I think it gives me a really unique perspective, because not a lot of Americans do a lot of long-term international travel, you know, hopping around hostels.
That's right.
But then what else is unique is I had the knowledge around like real estate and business. So usually like the hostel travelers and real estate and business is not in the same person, right?
That's right.
So it's like a really unique perspective to help grow the business by giving guests the best experience, but also financially, you know, being profitable and making money and growing a real estate business.
That's right. Were any of those hostels that you stayed out in Europe, like, any of them feel a little sketchy? So I guess because I've never stayed in one. You know, so I say, man, I'm going to go into a room and share a bunk bed with someone. Like, was it weird at first? Was you like, oh, man. And then it ended up being a great experience, it sounds like, though.
I have a, I guess, a high fear tolerance. So I never really got sketched out. And but honestly, most of the people who go to hostels, they kind of know what to expect. If you go and you don't like it, it's probably the last time you'll ever do it. But also, it's meant for people in their 20s, right? Like, it's not, you know, it's people who are...
A family of four.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like, you know, college, like living in a dorm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about the one that you guys have in Hawaii then, like what, like... A little bit more about it, I guess.
Yeah. So so we have two co-founders of our company. They've both been real estate investors for over 20 years. They were buying short-term rentals, long-term rentals, and, you know, they wanted to, you know, move into commercial to start scaling faster. And when they were looking at apartments, they realized the returns were so much less than their short-term rentals.
That's right.
So they came across this building during COVID that was being run as a hostel. The owner was open to selling it on great terms, seller finance. And that's really what makes it such a good investment now, is because they got it on seller finance.
100. It's always funner that way. Yeah.
So they basically took this dilapidated hostel, and they didn't know anything about hostels, actually. That's one of the most impressive parts. They hired consultants from Europe. They're both super smart. So, and, you know, they're real estate investors and business guys. So over the course of these years, they you know, learned and put in processes, hired an expert team. And then last year, the hostel in Maui was voted the number one hostel, the number one small hostel in North America by Hostel World, which is like the main hostel community. So it's super impressive what's been built. The vibes are always super good when I go there. And one of the things I really love about it is, because when I'm in the hostel, I'm not dressed as staff, but it's so cool to overhear guests saying like, man, I was in Hawaii last year and I came back just to stay here. This is the nicest hostel I've ever stayed at.
What a compliment, right?
Yeah. And it's crazy. So they were able to basically get the cash flow of a short-term rental with the forced appreciation of commercial real estate and hire out a whole team. So they actually personally only spend about 3 hours on operations of the hostel per week while they spend their time trying to, you know, grow the rest of our investment business.
Oh, that's amazing. So what kind of marketing do you do? Do you do the social media stuff you said for the hostel? And then what kind of online, like tell us a little bit about what you're doing to market these hostels.
Yeah. So we're all in on marketing, primarily through social media, video content. And the reason being is because our guests are Gen Z and millennials. Mm-hmm. And these days their search engine is Instagram and TikTok. Right.
I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Like when they want to go somewhere, they're gonna look up places to stay in Hawaii, things to do in Hawaii, you know, best hikes in Hawaii. And then when they search that, they're going to see all videos of us showing, hey, these are the best hikes in Hawaii. This is margarita night on Thursday. These are all the adventures you're going to go on. And frankly, there's no other hostel company in the U.S. who's doing social media like us right now. You know, specifically Instagram and TikTok. So we think it's going to be a huge competitive advantage for us. Again, because when you search, you know, Maui or Hawaii places to stay, we're all over the feed, and we're going to continue to do that with all of our other properties.
And I assume some of the younger people, they're going to make their own videos and stuff. Have you had some cool videos pop out of that?
Totally. So obviously, you know, we're all about scaling, and me filming the actual travel videos is not my highest and best use. So what we'll do is we'll have the volunteers at our hostels make videos. We have a couple of volunteers who are really good at that. And then we also encourage guests to make videos and collab with us. So like on our TV at the hostel, it'll say, hey, collab us and tag us. And then also what's been really growing our account is collaborating with influencers.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So I'll find travel influencers. There's a ton of them and we'll give them a free stay. Doesn't really cost us money to give them a bunk bed, and we'll have them make a few videos while they're there. So we have all these people from all over the world coming to the hostels, collabing with us. They're making videos for us, getting to their audiences. And that's what's really been growing it a lot. Through like giveaways, we'll do discount codes, and then again we have our staff, random travelers, and me. So it's a huge content engine that we're working on scaling.
Yeah, we'll say it again at the end of the show. We'll put the link in like the description. But like, what's the name of the hostel? Like, how can they find it? What's the pages online, and what's the name of the actual place?
Yeah, so it's called House It Hostels.
House It Hostels.
H O W Z I T.
Okay, and, that's cool.
And
The
reason it's called How's It is because in Hawaii, it's a common term, like, how's it going? And people in Hawaii, when they greet each other, they'll say, how's it? Throw the shaka.
I thought it was aloha, but I guess it's a how's it too.
Yeah, yeah. Aloha is like, hey. But they'll be like, how's it? So our logo is the shaka with the two H's in the middle.
Okay.
So that's why.
How's it? And then that's the same usernames too? How's It Hostels?
How's It Hostels.
Okay, and which one's, to you, your most favorite, TikTok or is it Instagram?
So I at this point, I'm just repurposing everything from Instagram onto TikTok. Honestly, need to focus more heavily on TikTok. It just hasn't been a priority at this point. I still haven't figured out the exact differences. So for now, I post on Instagram and have it repurposed to TikTok, but do need to make that more of a priority in the future.
So what got you into marketing? What was your interest? Or did you grow up doing like filmmaking or something? Or
no, I actually got into all of this within the past few years.
Really?
Yeah. So what got me into marketing was just the desire to be able to work from anywhere from my laptop, because my whole career was in sales. So it's a great industry to make money in. It can be exciting. I like the fact that you don't have an income cap and you can earn based on your performance, but you got to be on sales calls all the time from 9 to 5 Eastern. So I've always been obsessed with trying to figure out how to make money online and just be able to work from my computer and not be on calls all day. So that's what got me into that. And then I love traveling as well. So I started making videos and realized how much fun I was having just creating these cool videos. I was in like a YouTube mastermind in 2023. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just what I like doing the most.
Yeah, sales, you're always having to like call people, you're getting rejected. I'm sure you've heard everything, huh?
Yeah.
How long did you do sales?
7 years.
7 years. Yep. What were you selling at the time?
So I started off at a couple startups because I always wanted to help grow a company. A couple startups didn't work out. So then I joined Cisco, massive company, IT company. So I was selling like IT equipment. So honestly, great company, met a ton of friends. They treat their employees great. I really have nothing wrong to say with the company itself. But at the end of the day, selling IT equipment is not how I wanted to spend my life.
Yeah, you have a dream. And honestly, I just want to say it's very admirable to see that you actually, you know, some people say it's a risk, but really and truly it's a risk just staying, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's what it is it's just, I think it's very admirable that you took the risk to be able to say, you know, I'm going to chase my dream and try something new, you know? And it's good to do it when you're young, you know?
Yeah.
If you had like a wife and kids, I could only imagine that conversation. I'm quitting my job. I'm going to go travel, right?
Yeah. And one thing I always tell people, because I'm in a lot of masterminds for people who want to quit their jobs, like eventually there comes a point where it almost becomes too late. You know, I started feeling a lot of pressure when I was in my late 20s. I was like, I've got a few years left because I know how long it takes to build something up. I'm like, if I don't do this now, I'm going to be stuck forever. And I talk to so many people who get later on in life with wife and kids, which is awesome, but it becomes a lot harder to take that risk. And then the whole back half of your life, you know, would be completely different than if you did it in your 20s.
So what are your goals for the next 5 years? Like, where do you want to be and what do you want to be doing?
Yeah, so we're going to keep growing this business. Want to be the biggest and best hostel company in North America. I want to be super proud of the business we created, acquire several more properties. But then other than that, we're also going to be purchasing boutique hotels because our goal is to build a $400 million company. And to do that, we're going to need to buy bigger properties eventually. Like at one point, you know, our goal is to buy a $50 million hotel. So
like a nice resort right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But something cool because there, you know, there's a lot of people buying hotels, but I'm big on, you know, being proud of your work and doing what you want to do. So we want to buy like sick hotels, like boutique hotels that are super cool, whether it's a resort or something that you just walk into and you're like, wow. And, obviously something that's very Instagram worthy because you know, I'm leading all the marketing for the company, going to grow that up, eventually have people under me to help with stuff like filming and editing. But yeah, you know, it's got to be something that looks cool on the internet.
Yeah, one thing that your business partner said and you said is y'all gave an experience to the people. So you're really good about how people feel in the moment.
Yeah,
not just for business so they return, but again, you just want to be probably like, look at the experience I was able to give these people.
Yeah, right? 100%.
Yeah, so a resort would be perfect. Are y'all wanting to do the resorts just in Hawaii, or are y'all going to spread out all through the United States? Like, would y'all be open to California or Florida or something like that?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep, we're going to be expanding to the mainland as well.
Well, that's cool. And I was asking you before, so I'm going to ask you to repeat it. Like, how did you hear about us in the past?
Yeah, so I saw one of your teammates on Instagram. They were given like a lesson on creative finance. And at the time, I was wholesaling real estate. And when I had met you guys, I still hadn't got my first deal. And I saw you were putting out quality content. So, and then I joined your mastermind. And it was amazing. You guys had multiple calls a week. And again, I was trying to wholesale. And you guys really helped me with, because I was having trouble. You guys helped me with the creative financing part. And I was able to get my first couple of deals learning from what you guys taught me by presenting creative options to the seller. So,
man, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you on that. And then you said y'all bought the hostel with creative financing. So you guys see the power of seller financing.
Yeah, 100%. Seller financing is a game changer, especially with how interest rates are. And it's really what separates the investors that may not get any deals from the ones who are actually able to get those deals is being able to relate and get personal with the seller and work something out that works for both people. It's a really important skill right now.
Okay. So tell us, you said you did a deal, right?
Yeah, so I actually ended up closing 8 wholesale deals in the 7 months that I did it.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Tell us about your first one. I think the first one's where you got to like really learn the most. How did that go for you?
Yeah. And so as a quick backstory, mm-hmm. I started wholesaling in February, and I had a goal to be able to quit my job in August. I wanted to do a deal by August, and it was June, and I still hadn't done a deal. And because it's hard when you get started in wholesaling. Like, man. First 3-4 months, it's brutal.
It is. The calls, the source, and you don't know what to say, how to answer, and then, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. So and then in month 5, I finally got my first deal, and it was so relieving. And what enabled me to get it was that instead of just doing a traditional cash wholesale where I got it for, you know, a certain price and raised the price by 10K, because that's really tough to do right now.
Mm, yeah, it is. Mm.
I did a creative deal with the owner of the house where we would pay her a certain amount per month. And then I found a buyer and basically had him do a 10K down payment, which ended up being my assignment fee. And it worked out for both the buyer. He got a great deal, can still cash flow on the property. And then the seller got a price, you know, a monthly payment that was more than what she was getting from rent. So it was really a win-win situation. And that's why she sold to us versus the other people who were just shooting out traditional lowballs.
Yeah, that's what I love about, honestly, what you did was amazing. You have to think about it. You created a win-win-win situation. It's like you get to make a good living, honest living, while doing well for others. I just love that whole feel.
Yep. That's awesome.
So while you're doing your marketing, are you still trying to wholesale and do deals, or are you just like, you're like, I'm zoned in on this marketing and growing this, you know, $500 million portfolio? I guess that's what you kind of pivoted to.
Zoned in. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, as soon as it was kind of funny timing. I started making quite a bit of money with the wholesaling. Like, I closed all those deals in just a few months, just started making money. But I got this dream opportunity, get the chance to work for an amazing leader.
Oh, they're great guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I would only be doing wholesaling to make money, you know? And I'm really big on just going all out in life and doing what you love and also having the potential to build wealth from what you're doing. So, and I've never had just one thing to focus on for the past like 4 years, because I was always doing side hustles. So I love the fact that I just have one singular focus, and I'm all in. And they gave me a potential big upside within the company. So it's worth it for me. Like, if our company's successful, I'll make more than I would be able to make doing any like transactional type deals.
Mm. You know, they say the next $1 million idea is in someone else's mind, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then that kind of goes together with you're the average of the top 5 people that you're around. So it's kind of neat to see someone so young. You're putting yourself around really good people. Mm-hmm. What do you think about, I'm sure you have tons of friends. You're a very social person, extrovert, you know? But how do you feel about young people whenever they're just hanging around like just normal people? Or what kind of advice would you give someone in that situation? Just bogged down, normal life, they have dreams, but they're just stuck.
Yeah, I would say it all starts with, what do you want for your life? Like, does the person who's hanging around those people, do they have bigger dreams and bigger aspirations than their current circle is doing? If not, cool. But if so, because I know there's a lot of people who do that, you got to get around people who are doing bigger things and things that may even intimidate you. And they may wonder, well, these are the only people I know. What do I do? Power of the internet, groups like yours. Mm. I've met the most amazing people in online mastermind groups. And I know a lot of people can be like skeptical of paying money to join an online group, but without a doubt, I would not be where I'm at, without online groups and communities, because it just spreads your reach so much further than the people you know in real life.
Yeah, man, I didn't go to my first mastermind or event until I was 30 years old. And I look back, because that was 8 years ago, and I said, man, where would I have been if I would have gone in my 20s like you, man? You know what I mean? So I'm proud of you. I think you're doing an amazing job, you know?
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So tell us, I know what your 5-year goal is. So what are you going to do in the next, what is this? We're in March, right? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do by the rest of this year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we want to acquire $10 million worth of properties, either between hostels and boutique hotels, and at least one hotel. because, you know, we have the hostels now, we're open to buying hostels, but naturally there's more opportunities to buy boutique hotels. So we want to get into that as well. So $10 million worth of assets and a boutique hotel. If I were to guess, like if we were to end the year to be happy, it would be a flagship hostel in a super cool city, and then a boutique hotel, like a super cool one. So if we could end the year with that, we'd all be happy.
That'd be very happy. And then grow the Instagram and the socials and the marketing, right?
Yeah, that as well. So we're working on growing the properties Instagram, and we want to see bookings from that. Like, we want to see that translate into actual revenue, because it's a little hard to track right now. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the year, if we could have proof that this, you know, marketing we're doing is resulting in revenue, which ultimately results in increasing the property value, that would be great. And then we're just working on growing our personal brands as well, myself and our co-founder, because get to meet people like you and your team through that. So if I could have, you know, successfully, you know, built up my own online personal brand a good amount by the end of the year, that'd be awesome as well.
Yeah, I think personal brand is so important, man. Like I said, I am completely new to it, to be honest with you. I'm an introverted person. But like, even Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, they're building their personal brand, even though they're already successful. So it shows that it's very important. What made you realize that, not aside from branding your business, personal branding was important?
Yeah, I've always looked at social media a lot, and I just saw the power of it firsthand. And then meeting people through these online masterminds, I saw that the people who had the personal brands were growing so much faster. And all the relationships that I'd had, that I'd met in the groups, was without a personal brand. Now that I've started posting on Instagram, like, the amount of people you meet that now come to me is crazy. It just opens up a whole new world. And I only have like 800 followers at this point, and I'm already seeing the results. Not even in just in business, it rekindles friendships. Like, friends will reach out.
That's right.
It creates potential business opportunities, and it just shows other high performers that you're in the game and you're doing stuff as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. So you said you've done a few podcasts and stuff. How do you feel about the podcast scene?
I really like it. You know, every host has like different perspectives and a different worldview. So kind of getting to talk back and forth and share what I'm doing, learn about what they're doing is fun, and you get to meet people. I mean, I came out to Atlanta today, which is super cool. Always fun to take day trips, and it's just a, you know, great way to meet people and talk and still be productive.
Like I said, it's an honor. And you drove 4 hours to come here to do it. You're going to go 4 hours back. I'm like, man, I appreciate that.
I appreciate it. My pleasure. I'm really grateful you had me on the show.
Man, so are you guys doing like any events too? Or do y'all do any fundraising? Or are y'all just really going using your own capital?
Yes.
How are y'all doing this?
Huh? Yeah, so we will be raising for the next deal as well. So we're prepping for that. We're really close to a few deals. Obviously can't say much, but we're like right there on the cusp of a massive breakthrough.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it'll be cool because, you know, we'll potentially be able to give friends and family the opportunity to kind of get in on the action, you know, and that's what's great. It's not just you building your own wealth. You're able to help others as well.
Yeah, so let other people have a chance to do it too. Some people have a lot of money or retirement accounts, and they don't have no time to invest.
Yeah.
But you guys are like the hustlers. You work and you already know what you're doing. The number one hostel in the United States. Awesome marketer here. So, I mean, like, why, you know, I think it's good. It's another win-win situation, don't you think?
Totally. So yeah. I'm excited for that to start coming to fruition.
All right. So now, aside from business and stuff, what do you like to do for fun, Brandon?
My favorite thing to do is I love traveling to like different places, like different continents, different countries, and like exploring the best things to do in different cultures. Like, I've been on a Latin America kick recently for the past couple years, obviously, because it's the closest and same time zone. But yeah, just going to those countries, you know, exploring the nightlife and like the stuff to do during the day, like hiking and stuff like that. You know, I work a lot when I'm on the road, obviously, but just being somewhere different, like I was just in Guatemala, being able to walk out in the street, get street tacos, go to the local gym, go on runs.
That's cool. Ride. Do you speak Spanish and stuff?
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. English is kind of the world language, so you can pretty much go anywhere and do that. But yeah, just, you know, hanging out in places like that, traveling, doing new stuff is really my favorite thing to do.
How many countries do you think you visited at this point?
21.
21? That's crazy. Yeah. Is there one that just stands out, like, man, that is my favorite, Shane, you need to go? Which one is that?
Yeah, so I have two top ones. I'm a pretty tough critic. I don't say that I love everywhere. So when I do say I like places, it's an honest review. But my two favorites would be Colombia and Thailand.
Colombia and Thailand?
Yes.
All right, so what we were supposed to go to Colombia, and I don't know. I just know there's Medellin, Barranquilla, mm-hmm. and Bogota, right? Which city did you go to, and where did you go?
Medellin is the best one, for sure.
Is that the one on the ocean?
Cartagena is on the ocean.
Cartagena, that's right.
Didn't love that one, to be honest, but Medellin is super cool. It's a city, mm-hmm. And I like it because it's different enough of a culture where you don't feel like you're at home, but it's just... there's so much going on at all times. It's one of the biggest digital nomad hubs on this side of the world.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay.
So there's a ton of remote workers, and the infrastructure is built for remote workers as well, because there's just so many travelers and tourists there. So
Is the food good too?
Yes. Your wife's from Costa Rica, right?
Yeah, she's from Costa Rica.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Which place do you like the most? Tamarindo, maybe? Or
That was a little too touristy. I think it was La Fortuna. That's where the volcanoes are.
That is. Volcano. Yeah. Did you go to, what is it, the hot fountains and stuff?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So how was the food in Colombia?
Oh, it was amazing. And the other thing I love about Colombia is that not only is it the best country that I've been to, it's actually the cheapest.
Really? I've never been. Okay. Yeah. Tell me.
And, a lot of, these Latin American countries in Central and South America, they're cheaper. They're not like dirt cheap, right? You can't go there and get a meal for like $2. I'd say they're like 30% discounted on American prices. But Colombia was just a little step less expensive than everywhere else. So not only was it the best, the most modern, the most fun, but it was also the least expensive. So it's got like the triple threat combo.
Oh, man. So you really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, and then Thailand, because you put them both up, because I have my top two. Tell us about Thailand. I've only seen it off movie. Which city did you go to?
I went to a lot. So I went to Bangkok, Chiang Mai, Koh Phangan, which is like in the islands. And that was my first big trip when I was 23. So I had never left the U.S. and I went on a solo backpacking trip when I was 23. Yeah. That's when I discovered hostels for the first time. So I think that's part of what I love most about it. Also, the only country I've been to in Asia, except for Japan. I wasn't there for that long. It's just so much different. Like, it's even more different than Latin America. It's truly a different world. It is unbelievably beautiful. You can ride scooters everywhere. And it's just so different than anything else that is around. So I think that fact that it was my first one and how different it was is why I really liked it. And they've got big cities. They've got quiet cities. They've got beaches. So they got everything.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people, like I'm in Georgia, we're in Georgia. I have some people who have never been more than just Georgia and Florida. They've never even gone to Tennessee or Alabama. So like, what kind of, just to talk about experiences, travel and stuff, like have you had any like sketchy moments traveling? Like, oh man, I don't feel comfortable right here. Something's going on, like a situation.
So honestly, I do have a pretty high fear tolerance. I'm just naturally, I guess, confident when I'm traveling. I don't really worry. I would say my biggest scary moments are my own fault, like losing stuff. Like, I remember when I landed in Bangkok, I forgot my wallet in the bathroom in the airport. Like, the very first thing I did was I left my wallet in the stall, and I'm almost out of the airport, and I realized I don't have my wallet, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Your heart sank.
Yeah. When I was trying to leave Colombia, I thought I lost my passport, but it was under my bed. So usually if I freak out, it's my own fault, just losing stuff.
I mean, did you find your wallet in the bathroom?
Yes.
It was still there?
Yeah.
You're talking about lucky, man. Oh, my gosh.
Asia's a really respectful culture, too. Like, it's not the type of place where you really have to worry about that.
So one of my moments, I was in... I've had a few sketchy moments. We were in Panama, Central America, near Colombia. There's no roads between Colombia and Panama. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
There's the gap in the water.
Well, yeah, but that's a little further. But yeah, because they have a drug issue, right? So we went as far down into Panama as you could, and then you have to sign off with the military saying, we will not go further to protect you from here.
Dang.
And we signed the document, got in these little wooden boats, and went down the river.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then there's little villages over there. And it's just, it was just one of those, I said, I just don't feel safe here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things. Because Colombians are great people. I have a lot of Colombian friends.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess just there's certain, like, drug cartels right in that area. I didn't see any of them, but apparently after we left, they said, man, that was dangerous for you Americans to go. They would snatch you up in a heartbeat, you know?
Yeah, once you get outside of the main cities, I stick to the main cities, so.
Yeah, that's probably the smartest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just remember that, like, we got there and, like, you see people walking around with machine guns. I'm like, I know they don't let people with machine guns just normal over here, you know, in the woods and
stuff.
It was just kind of weird. And then they have, like, I guess, like, the chicken fights. They have the rings there where it's legal for them to do chicken fights and stuff. It's just neat things like that. But, but it's kind of sketched me out on that one, for sure.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So you love to travel. What else do you like to do for fun? Do you have any, like, hobbies?
Frankly, making videos is my hobby. Like making awesome travel videos. The whole process.
You did that, okay.
Yeah, so I had a YouTube channel in 2023. It's still there. I kind of stopped doing it just because, you know, there's not a lot of money in it. And ultimately, I do believe in following your passion, but you have to be able to make money. Otherwise, you're going to run into other issues. And you're kind of just like a starving artist. So,
oh, yeah. And it takes a lot of work to edit.
Yes.
And then my buddy Austin over here, he'll film all day. But, man, I know that the hardest part when he has to sit there and edit all this stuff. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. But I love the whole process, from scripting, from making the storyboard of the video, to filming and then editing and then publishing it.
Wow,
so,
it's nice, right?
Yes. It's so crazy how it goes from nothing to something. So I consider myself, I don't want to say lucky, because I did work to make this happen, but the fact that my main hobby is part of my job is something that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But other than that, I like to hang out at the pool, be in the sun, get tan, work out, make videos, travel, that's the life.
And he's single, everybody, just so you know, right? You're single?
That is true.
That's good. That's good. So they got it. Someone's going to have to settle. So whenever you get married and stuff, I mean, I assume that'll change. Where would you like to say, this is where I want to settle? If you had to choose one city in America or anywhere in the world, say, this is going to be my principal residence once you settle down.
Yeah. So I guess to preface that is I don't know if it would have to change, because in a potential wife, a huge thing I look for is someone who is able to travel. And I know there's girls out there who are like that, because I've met some like that. Didn't always work out, but you know, if someone is not able to travel and doesn't want to, that's automatically not a fit for me. So
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the couple's name are, but they lived here in the United States and they drove their big bus, like this big, I guess they took like an old school bus and rigged it to be like a little camper like thing. And they moved to Costa Rica. And since my wife's from Costa Rica, I guess I was looking at stuff about Costa Rica and I saw this family had drove through Mexico, Honduras, all of that. And they literally broke down in the driveway of their new place in Costa Rica at the time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least they made it.
Yeah. But I just thought it was cool, because families, I mean, it sounds like a fun life.
Yeah.
Do you get bored of just one area for too long?
Sometimes. I mean, I would say sometimes I get bored when I'm traveling by myself. Like when I was in Guatemala, I was by myself and I would meet cool people, but they would always be moving on in like 2 to 3 days.
Oh, gotcha.
So I prefer to be places where there's people who also kind of live there too. So that's kind of something I think about. You know, at this point in my life, I'd rather be traveling with someone. But yeah, I can get bored of places, but the great thing is you just go somewhere else.
You go somewhere.
There's so many places.
Yeah. So if we end up doing a trip, because we talked about maybe trying to do like experience trips with investors and we all just go hang out, we can nerd out. Because honestly, man, you're a nerd like me. I'm a nerdy guy. You know, I love to just nerd out about like real estate, and I'm trying to learn all this personal branding stuff. But
yeah.
I figure we get a bunch of investors. We'll just go scuba diving, you know, go to Costa Rica or something. We could go to, now I want to go to Colombia.
I'm like, in.
Would you come with us?
100%.
You going to make some content?
I'm in.
Man, that's awesome. Well, man, I appreciate it. Tell everyone where they can find you online so they can follow you.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. My name is Brandon Heen, H-I-E-N. It's just Brandon _H-I-E-N. And then we also have our Instagram account, How's It Hostels, H-O-W-Z-I-T, Hostels. Lots of fun travel content on there. And then I also run all the marketing for our co-founder, Nathan. So you can find him on Nate_St. Cyr. So that's Nate_STCYR. So he's an awesome guy. He's a co-founder of our business, and I basically run that Instagram account with him. So if you kind of want to see some of the work we do and the behind the scenes of running the hostels, that's where you can find that.
Yeah, he was super cool. So I'm going to come see you guys. When are you going to Hawaii next?
Not sure yet.
You said January usually, but right?
Well, I was just there in January. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know what my life's going to look like more than a month in advance.
Well, let me know. Let me know, because I'll try and go around the same time. I want to meet all you guys like in person, nerd out, and we'll have some fun.
What do you think? Hawaii looks like a real life movie. It is so beautiful. The colors are just more pronounced. It's one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Man, well, Brandon, I appreciate you coming out, being on here. Give you another handshake, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm super grateful.
All right, thank you, man.